next on the 5 o'clock report.
The war was a strategic failure.
The American people aren't morons.
And all the hippies started getting saved, and
Greg Stubbe getting all of this wine. Look at that swing.
Now, let's go to the newsroom.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the broadcast. I'm Bill Price. Crunch time. On Capitol Hill.
This is his agenda, so come and tell us. Do you want us to wait for the whole enchilada?
That is our top story at 5. The U.S. Senate has reached a deal to avoid a government shutdown, but it's just the first piece in a very large and complicated fiscal puzzle. Political analyst Larry Sabato says the hard work for Congress is just beginning.
They have much bigger challenges, from the debt limit to the infrastructure bill to the giant $3.5 trillion bill that includes a lot of domestic matters. That's the real work of Congress, and we'll see whether they can get it done.
The Senate deal would fund the government through December 3rd, but Congress must still find a way to tackle the debt crisis by October 18th to avoid an economic meltdown. Illinois Senator Dick Durbin says a lot hangs in the balance for Democrats.
You know, we are one heartbeat away from losing the majority in the United States Senate, and I've been in the Senate long enough to see that happen.
Congress remains at odds on the debt cap, the $1.2 trillion infrastructure bill, and the Build Back Better White House domestic agenda, which has a price tag of $3.5 trillion. The House Speaker thinks she can get all of them past the finish line.
We're on a path to win the vote. I don't want to even consider any options other than that. And no, it's not too ambitious, because we're meeting the needs of the American people. And what that is what our agenda will be.
Nancy Pelosi coming under fire, though, for suggesting the spending spree is free, meaning it won't cost the American taxpayer a single dime. Louisiana Senator John Kennedy.
The American people aren't morons. They don't have time to read Aristotle every day, but they get it. They know that all this is not free.
Florida Congressman Michael Waltz says the country needs an infrastructure bill, not a social welfare program.
We need infrastructure. The Chinese are running laps around us in terms of their internal infrastructure, their smart cities, and what they're building, not just in China, but around the world. We need this, but we can't have it hooked to this massive, irresponsible social spending bill.
West Virginia Democrat Joe Manchin is the key to the president's domestic agenda, and he calls the massive Build Back Better bill the very definition of fiscal insanity.
I cannot accept our economy or basically our society moving towards an entitlement mentality, that you're entitled.
The Manchin says progressives are making a big mistake by linking the smaller infrastructure bill to the much larger social spending one. We lost the war. That's what Joint Chiefs Chairman Mark Milley said yesterday during testimony to the House Armed Services Committee about Afghanistan.
It is obvious to all of us that the war in Afghanistan did not end on the terms that we wanted, with the Taliban now in power in Kabul. The war was a strategic failure.
Top Pentagon brass blamed the State Department for the chaotic evacuation that ultimately led to the deaths of 13 U.S. service members. Iowa Congresswoman Marionette Miller Meeks.
13 U.S. service members gave their lives because they conducted an incompetent, inept operation of withdrawal.
The suicide bomber who killed those Americans had been released by the Taliban from the Bagram Air Base 3 days before the blast. Bagram is the base that we abandoned in the weeks leading up to the fall of Afghanistan. A Pentagon report out today shows soldier suicides rose 15% in 2020 from the year earlier. Among active duty soldiers, the rate is at a six-year high. Among veterans, 20 a day now take their lives through suicide. The CDC issuing an urgent plea to moms-to-be. The Centers for Disease Control wants pregnant women to get vaccinated against COVID.
We know that pregnant women are at increased risk of severe disease, of hospitalization and ventilation. They're also at increased risk for adverse events to their babies.
CDC Director Dr. Rochelle Walensky, 22 pregnant women in this country have died of COVID in just the past month. The nation's biggest retailer hiring for the holidays, Walmart, says it plans to hire about 150,000 workers, with most taking on permanent full-time positions. The company plans to offer extra hours, too, to make up for pandemic-related labor shortages. Still to come this Thursday, norovirus outbreak at RIT, bus driver shortage in Rome, New York, and the long ball at last night's congressional baseball game.
I'm Kevin Williams, and here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. forecast. Chilly night is coming up tonight, but a good-looking day tomorrow. And a good start to the weekend is expected as an area of high pressure delivers sunshine and a little bit of warmth. But a front will arrive with showers Saturday night and Sunday. So for this night ahead, chilly. Skies will be clear to partly cloudy in Pennsylvania. Clouds will be a little more stubborn in New York State, but break for some starlight. There can also be a brief shower in spots south and southeast of Lake Ontario. Low temperatures, mainly 40s. For tomorrow, a good deal of sunshine in Pennsylvania, a sun-cloud mix in New York. There might be a sprinkle early near Lake Ontario. Highs in the 60s. And on Saturday, we're looking at ample sunshine and warmer with high temperatures in most areas, reaching into the vicinity of 70 degrees.
All right, Kevin Williams, checking the stories making news where you live in New York and Pennsylvania. Thursday, September 30th, a severe bus driver shortage has forced the Rome, New York City School District to go remote as several of the district's bus drivers test positive for the coronavirus, leading an already strained transportation system to the brink. In a letter from the district superintendent, Peter Blake, students and parents were notified the lack of drivers does not allow for the district to continue proper transportation for students, and as a result, grades K through 12 in Rome, New York, will go remote starting tomorrow. The new method will continue until next Friday, October 8th, with students returning to in-person instruction on Tuesday, October 12th. Union workers at Mercy Hospital and Catholic Health still have not reached an agreement on a labor contract. They have till midnight tonight to reach a deal before employees go on strike.
I mean, they're playing a game of chicken right now. And, you know, I still am holding out hope that, you know, reason will come to the forefront and they'll settle this, you know, before the midnight deadline.
Larry Zielinski, the former president of Buffalo General Hospital, increased pay and increased staff. The main sticking points, saying it was the right thing to do, New York Governor Kathy Hochul defending her controversial vaccine mandate for healthcare workers across the state.
My number one job as governor is to keep the people of the state safe. And that is why we were very firm in adhering to the vaccine mandate. It was the right thing to do. I will stand with that.
The governor says 92% of hospital staff across the state met the mandate, and there wasn't a single healthcare facility that closed as a result of it. Not all healthcare workers in New York are mandated to get the COVID shot, but more of them will face suspension or termination without it. Family Life's Jeremy Miller.
Yeah, that's right. A looming October 7th vaccination mandate for New York home health workers is projected to have profound impact on an industry that delivers medical services to frail seniors and disabled persons. The Home Care Association of New York reports more than 12,000 home health staffers refuse to be vaccinated. But that estimate could actually be much higher because only some of the agencies were surveyed. The Empire Center for Public Policy says the mandate will likely aggravate a longstanding healthcare labor shortage. Jeremy Miller, Family Life News.
Pennsylvania Health Secretary Allison Beam says more than 500,000 school kids in the Commonwealth have been vaccinated against COVID.
We know that vaccinations are one of the best ways to prevent illness from COVID-19 and keep students learning in person. That's why we encourage everyone eligible to get vaccinated.
Beam says she expects the Pfizer vaccine for kids ages 5 to 11 to get the go-ahead this November. A local college stepping up its cleaning efforts after nearly 50 students became ill. Rochester Institute of Technology says the Monroe County, New York Health Department has determined that norovirus, a contagious illness that causes vomiting and diarrhea, is to blame. Most of the students did not require medical care and felt better within 24 to 36 hours. Some students did seek care, though, in RIT's Student Health Center, and a few had to be treated at the hospital. A new movie hits theaters tomorrow that unveils the untold story behind the transformation of contemporary Christian music.
This thing, Jesus music, found its way in my hometown, and it changed my life.
The Jesus music traces decades of Christian music from its humble beginnings in the 1960s to what today is a multi-billion dollar a year industry.
I think a lot of people are going to be very surprised at what really spurred this on from really the late 60s, the civil unrest, and all of a sudden there was just a breakout of a revival at Calvary Chapel in Costa Mesa, and all the hippies started getting saved, and that really was kind of where the whole thing started.
Michael W. Smith helped put together the Jesus music music, which shares stories from more than 50 of today's biggest Christian music stars.
It's a who's who. It's Toby Mac. It's Kirk Franklin. It's, you know, Mercy Me. It's, you know, and then Lauren Daigle and For King and Country. Yeah. It's a who's who. To see five decades of music unite was really exciting.
The Jesus music director Andrew Irwin, contemporary Christian artist Natalie Grant, also featured in the film.
All of us can talk about the soundtrack of our lives. I talk about how Adele makes us cry over heartbreak we never even had before. But when you put hope into the lyric and you're like, wait a second, this is now songs that become anchors. So for me, I can go, when I was going through postpartum depression, I can tell you a song that was an anchor in my life. And this is music. It's more than just a song. It's actually faith and hope that's infused into every word. And that's a game changer.
Michael W. Smith and Amy Grant produced the Jesus music. And again, it's in theaters tomorrow. Time now for your market report brought to you by Ambassador Advisors. Stocks took a nosedive today as fears over the nation's debt crisis worsens. At the closing bell, the Dow was down 547, the NASDAQ off 64, and the S&P 500 down 52. Ambassador Advisors, a Christian financial planning firm, helping faithful stewards do more. Online at ambassadoradvisors.com.
There's an old country song called "Who Dug This Hole I'm In?" Hi, I'm Rob West with today's MoneyWise Minute. The song is about a guy who's in a difficult spot, and he's wondering how he got there. Of course, he figures out that he is the one who dug the hole. It's of his own making. Sure, sometimes we fall into holes we had nothing to do with. But truth be told, that's the exception, not the rule. If you find yourself in a financial hole, one of your own making, the first thing to do is stop digging. Stop doing whatever it is that created the hole, such as spending more than you can afford. Getting out of the hole is tougher than getting in. It can be done, but first, you have to stop digging. Get biblical answers to your financial questions in the MoneyWise community. Download MoneyWise Biblical Finance in your app store or visit MoneyWise.org.
12 minutes past the hour, sunny time. Drive home sports.
Yeah, Bill, let's start with the hunt for October. The Yankees, Red Sox, Mariners, and Blue Jays fighting for those two wildcard spots. New York leads Boston by one game. Seattle, half game behind the Red Sox for the second wildcard. Toronto, one game behind Boston. Tonight, the Blue Jays will try to make it two in a row. They host the Yankees in their series finale. The Red Sox in Baltimore, J.D. Martinez loving the chase.
You know, if they would have told us at the beginning of spring training we'd be in this situation, I think everybody would be excited and would be looking forward to the challenge.
Seattle has the day off. In the National League, the Phillies must win every game and have Atlanta lose every game to make it to the postseason. Philly plays Atlanta tonight. Elsewhere, the Pirates host the Cubs. Mets at home against the Marlins, Cleveland in Kansas City. Thursday night football, Joe Burrow and the 2-1 Cincinnati Bengals host Trevor Lawrence and the 0-3 Jacksonville Jaguars. Cincy head coach Zach Taylor.
If we don't turn around and our focus this week and don't play well on Thursday night, then it's all for naught.
Kickoff at 8:20. For Family Life, I'm Sonny Dolphiet.
Hi, I'm Kevin Williams, and here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. Chilly night is coming up tonight, but a good-looking day tomorrow, and a good start to the weekend is expected as an area of high pressure delivers sunshine and a little bit of warmth. But a front will arrive with showers Saturday night and Sunday. So for this night ahead, chilly. Skies will be clear to partly cloudy in Pennsylvania. Clouds will be a little more stubborn in New York State, but break for some starlight. There can also be a brief shower in spots south and southeast of Lake Ontario. Low temperatures, mainly 40s. For tomorrow, a good deal of sunshine in Pennsylvania, a sun-cloud mix in New York. There might be a sprinkle early near Lake Ontario. Highs in the 60s, and on Saturday, we're looking at ample sunshine and warmer with high temperatures in most areas, reaching into the vicinity of 70 degrees.
All right, Kevin Williams, finally at 5. Well, if his congressional gig doesn't work out, the Washington Nationals might be able to use Florida Congressman Craig Stuebe.
Wow, this is a long
one. Craig Stuebe with the first pitch and the first swing is going to be a home run. Stuebe out of the ballpark into the left field bleachers.
The Republican representative became the first lawmaker in 40 years to hit a ball out of the ballpark in a congressional baseball game.
Craig Stuebe getting all of this one.
Look at that swing.
swing he put on it and just drilled it to left. That ball got out in a hurry.
That was a bona fide major league home run right there.
Absolutely.
He crushed it. Happened last night at the Washington Nationals baseball stadium. Former Texas Congressman Ron Paul, the last lawmaker to hit an out-of-the-park homer during that congressional baseball game. That happened back in 1979. In addition to showing his power at the plate, Congressman Stubbe, also the GOP's starting pitcher, and recorded the last out of the game at third base to preserve the win for the GOP. Quite a night for Florida Congressman Craig Stubbe.